Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
You know, Jesus is coming again, you know, and some of us may get a pre-trib rapture and some of us may get a mid-trib rapture, I don't know. But one thing for sure, we're all going to get a rapture. I don't know when he's coming, how he's coming, I just know he's coming because it's written in the Word. And so I suggest that we be ready. Nobody really knows when your day to leave this earth, do you? We don't think much about it. Some would say, he's crazy. That's not going to happen. You know, Jesus is not coming back anytime soon. We got plenty of time. Well, I don't know when he is coming, but I will have to say I was thinking just the other day, I was watching TBN, Trinity Broadcast Network, and they had a group of men on the set, and all of them were talking about the return of Christ, the rapture and the return of Christ. And they were all from a different perspective. Not one single one of them could agree with the other one as to what time Jesus is going to return. And so, but they all agreed that he was coming back. They just didn't know when. They didn't know if it was going to be pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, or somewhere else. But somewhere in that. So out of that, Paul Crouch, which was, of course, the president of TBN, he went to prayer to the Lord later and says, Lord, you got to give us some more information so we can be ready. We had all your men on here and they all agreed at different times you were coming. So we need you to tell us, to clarify this so we can all be ready. He said, Lord, what do I tell the people? He said, the Lord spoke to me clearly and said, tell them to be ready all the time. Because he ain't going to tell you when he's coming. You know, if God were to tell us he's coming next Wednesday at 3 o'clock, some of us would not go to work tomorrow. Is that true? If you really thought Jesus Christ was coming back for you by 3 o'clock Wednesday afternoon, most of you would not show up for work wherever you work tomorrow. You might not even call the people you're working for to tell them why you're not coming in. Some of you would do that. And the Lord knows how we are, because he made us. So that's why he don't tell us. So that's why he said, just be ready, because I am coming. Well, as many of you, maybe all of you know, Paul Crouch got a pre-trib rapture. Y'all know what I mean? Because he died. He died just a few days ago. And he definitely got a pre-trib. He went home to be with Jesus before the tribulation period. So he got a pre-trib rapture. Now then, none of us know when we're going to get a rapture, do we? But I'll tell you for sure, the Master is coming for every one of us. And none of us knows when that day's coming. When you go to bed tonight, you're just like me. You plan on waking up again in the morning, do you not? Is that your plan? Sure, that's mine too. I plan to wake up in the morning. I got things I want to do today and tomorrow and the next day. I have my weeks and even months planned out in advance of what I'm going to do. In fact, I was sitting out there talking to a gentleman a while ago, and he says, Thurman, what day of the week do you take off? What day of the week do I take off, honey? Oh, I don't take one off. I don't do that. I just, you know, I don't know why I don't do that. I just have freedom in Christ to do anything I want to do. And so, I mean, the Master himself, I don't think he takes a day off. I mean, he did. He created the earth in 6 days and then he rested the seventh day. But I think since then, I don't think the Master takes a day off. Do you, Judy? I think he works 24/7. I really believe he does. So anyway, I try to have fun during the course of the day. I try to do good for people, but I do try to stay ready, because I do not know when the Master's coming for me, and I don't know when he's coming for you, but I know he's coming. Don't we all know that? He is definitely coming. Now then, are you ready? Are you prepared? Now, this is my question to you. If you really knew he was coming next Wednesday, if you really knew that, is there anything you would change? If you say yes, well, then you're in the wrong place. You need to be living every day like he's coming today, right? You don't want to be planning, well, if he were to come next Wednesday, ooh, I got some things I got to do between now and next Wednesday. No, huh? That's not the way it should be. I mean, if I knew he was coming next Wednesday for me, if he told me, I really can't think of a thing I would change the way I normally do business. I would do the same thing today that I'm doing right now. I would teach the word. After we prayed for people, I'd pray for people in faith just like I do. And then I would probably go out to eat with my wife tonight. And we would come home and more than likely read our emails and do all our stuff we do on Sunday night. We usually get about 100 emails a day, at least. And so between the two of us, we read those. We try to answer those. We try to pray. I thought about last night, a couple of people walked into the office just as we were getting ready to pray. Cheryl was opening the mail, and sometimes I help her open the mail. And when we open the mail, we have all kinds of requests that people want us to pray for them or their children or whatever. And do you know we do that? We do that. Well, we don't just throw your letter in the trash. We read it, we pray over it, and then we throw it in the trash. Because once we have prayed, we've done all we can do. Now it's in the hands of the Master, and he can do anything. But we pray. You know, sometimes, I mean, if you may walk into the office and here, there, me and Cheryl, she's got her hands up praying in tongues, and I'm over here praying, and I may have my hands up. I may be sitting down. I don't even know telling where we're going to be. But we're trying our best to do what the Master called us to do. And tomorrow, we have a plan what we'll do tomorrow and the next day. And if Wednesday was the day he was coming to get me, then I would have no problems. I wouldn't change a thing. Wednesday, I would be looking with great anticipation for the Master's return. But you know, I'm doing that anyway. I'm looking today for his return anytime. Aren't you? Are you ready? Are you prepared? He's coming. I got news for you. He's really coming. So if you're not ready, if you're not prayed up, if you're not walking with him, you're not talking with him. And I'm going to show you some things today out of Matthew chapter 6 and chapter 7. We're going to see some people. In fact, let's go to Matthew 6 and let's just use the King James. Let's start with Matthew 6, 6. That's a good place to start. Matthew chapter 6. But thou, when thou pray, enter into your closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to your Father, which is in secret, and your Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. Now let me ask you this question. When's the last time, now you don't really have to answer. I don't want to intimidate you. When's the last time you got in your prayer closet and closed the door? Many of you have never been in that prayer closet. Is that right? Many of you have never entered your prayer closet. You know, of course, a prayer closet back in that day was like a shawl. It was one of those things they put over your head. But it's the same way. You can literally enter into your prayer closet and you can pray and ask God for things. Then in verse 7 and 8, he says, but when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now then, if Cheryl and I gets a letter from you about you or your children, your grandchildren, or your spouse or whatever, when we take that and we remit your sins and we pray the prayer of faith for you, do you see now why we throw the letter in the trash? Because if I stay there and pray and pray and pray and continually ask God over and over and over to forgive your sins and to heal you, then am I doing it the way he told me to do it? No. He told me just to remit your sins, pray the prayer of faith for you, and then believe it's done. Is that what he said? Yeah. See, that's why that we do what we do the way we do it. Some people want us to do what we don't have here. Some people call us and say, I want you to put me on your prayer list so you can pray for me every day. I tell people, I don't do that for nobody. When I pray for you one time, as far as I'm concerned, if you're walking with God, it's done. I don't need to pray for you again. If I need to pray for you again, either I didn't pray in faith or, well, just like little Jenna, the little story out here of Jenna, the little girls, the pictures are on the wall. I will have to say that when I met that couple, when I told them, when they called me and wanted me to pray for their daughter because they heard about Caitlin's story and how God raised her from the dead, they wanted me to pray for their little girl, knowing she would be healed. I told them, I said, that's not the way it works. I said, yes, I can pray in faith, but I said, this child that you have, I said, is this child the only child you have that has this sickness? And they said, yes, she's the last child. The other children do not have this. So I said, there's a sin that happened between your last child and this child that either you or your husband committed that we've got to find and repent. And they had never heard that concept in their life. Never. You're trying to tell us that our sin made our child sick? I said, yes. God clearly said in His Word that if you will serve me and love me and worship me and praise me, I will bless you and your children, the fruit of your womb. But He said, if you do not, then I will curse you and your children. So I said, if you have other children and they're all healthy, I said, then obviously you were walking in obedience to God's Word. But this last one is sick, somewhere between the last healthy child and this child in that space of history, somewhere in there, one of you or both of you did something that didn't please the Master. And so He struck your daughter with this sickness. God struck our daughter with this sickness? I said, yes, everything comes from God. Now, that's a hard one for people to swallow. But when you get in the Word, it's there, right there. It says, and the Lord struck the child with the incurable itch that cannot be healed. How much clearer can it be? You see, so we don't read the Word. We don't believe the Word when we do read it. And so we have to be real careful. So anyway, I told them that we have to find the sin. So we tried and tried for a year and a half. Every time we think we had the sin taken care of, they would repent, we would pray, and I would guarantee them the little girl would get well, and she didn't. And so she got worse. And so I finally told them, you're going to have to find the sin. And so they did exactly what I told them to do in Jeremiah 33:3. The Lord says, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. That's written. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 33:3. It's also written in Psalms 91. That if we call on the Lord, He will answer us and show us great and mighty things that we know not. So they did that, and they prayed every day. Now, they prayed every day, morning and night. I told them, you pray until God answers. I don't know how long it'll take Him to answer you. Sometimes He answers you instantly. He has done that for me. There's times when I prayed, and God gave me an answer right then. I mean, just barely get the words out of my mouth, and there's my answer. And there's other times I have prayed and prayed and pleaded for weeks and months. And there is sometimes I never got an answer. Still never have. So, you know, obviously He didn't plan for me to know everything. Because if He had, He would have told me. But anyway, usually I don't give up until I get my answer. They finally, after about 2 or 3 weeks of praying, the Lord told them, He actually told the mother as they prayed, He told her, one morning she called me and says, Pastor, this morning when I woke up, I heard two words, lying and deception. I said, well, Sally, do you know what lying and deception means? She said, I do. I said, well, tell me. She said, when I was 39, my husband was 43. I went to my husband, told him, before I get too old, I want to have one more baby. And my husband told, I am 43 years old. We start trying to have a baby now, we might wind up with a teenager when I'm in my 60s. So he said, no more children. Now, the Word of God clearly says the wife is to submit to the husband in how many things? In all things. We don't do a very good job of that, girls. You girls do not do a very good job of submitting to your husband in all things. And you wonder why you have so many problems in your life, because you're a disobedient girl. But that's what this girl's case. So anyway, I said, well, did you go to your husband and tell him about this? And she said, yes, I did. And she said, I told my husband that I would do everything I could to keep from getting pregnant. But she said, I lied. I did everything I could to get pregnant. And then after I got pregnant, I told him, well, it must be God's will for us to have a baby because I was doing everything I could to keep from getting pregnant. But here I am pregnant, so it must be God's will for us to have a baby. So she's not taking any responsibility. She's putting it all on somebody else. And the Master didn't like it. And so he struck their daughter with a sickness. Well, she asked her husband to forgive her, and he did. Then she asked God to forgive her, and we know He did because it's written in the Word. Is that right? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's righteous and just to forgive our sin and restore us to righteousness. So I said, now then we can pray the prayer of faith for your baby. And so she wanted me to pray the prayer of faith for her baby, that her baby would not just be healed, but she would get a brand new coat of skin. Because as you look at the pictures out there on the wall, you'll see all the scars and everything all over her little body where she had been clawing herself. Now for 8 years, she was 8 years old at this point. We prayed the prayer of faith for the Lord after they had repented of all sin to give that baby a brand new coat of skin. And within 2 weeks, that little girl was completely healed without a mark on her body. Now that's an awesome God we serve, you know. So, but the pictures are out there on the wall, you know, you can see that. We just don't understand how to pray. But when we pray, when we get our sins repented of, if we go to God, just like this couple, they repented of, they thought their sins, and then we prayed the prayer of faith for them every time, but it didn't work because they did not get the sin confessed. They thought they did, but they did not. So until they finally went to God and asked Him what the sin was, and He told them, then when they repented of that sin, then when we prayed, the little girl got well. And she got well in within a couple of weeks. Now then, we have had that same experience with lots of people. Some of you are in this service today that we could not get healed. In fact, I think of a young lady that is not here today, but they come every once in a while, her and her husband. She had Lyme's disease when she came to us, and she was incurable. Lyme's disease is not curable by man. But we found out that usually Lyme's disease is caused by unforgiveness. And we found out finally, it took a long time, we finally figured it out through God, that she had an unforgiveness toward a professor in college when she was in college. He did her wrong, gave her a bad grade, and she got an unforgiveness toward him, and she had no idea that was going to bring a disease upon her, that if she didn't find the answer to it, she was going to die with it. So she'd had it for many years, and then when her mother heard about us, she finally convinced her daughter to come over. She came over, we found her unforgiveness, and we prayed for that girl, and that girl got completely well. Now that girl is, her and her husband are running their own ministry today. She's trying to get people healed and set free and delivered herself, because she had no idea that unforgiveness would make you sick and even kill you. But most people don't know that. But anyway, let's press on here. Let's look here. He says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Now then, if God knows what we need before we ask, why do we have to ask? You have to demonstrate faith, right, Jackie? He is a faith God, and without faith it's impossible to please Him. And so until you come to Him and ask Him for something in faith, you don't get it, do you? See, and that's just like Philip. You know, some of you know Philip. Philip worked for us for several years after he got healed. But when he was a little boy, 11 years old, when I met Philip in a Baptist church, little 11-year-old Philip for 8 years had had warts all over his body, hundreds of them. And they'd even tried to burn some of them off the back of his hand and left big old scars on his hand. But when they asked me to come and minister to him that Sunday afternoon, I went down there. And he come in and I looked at him. I said, boy, you really have got the warts on you. And he said, Mr. Schiffner, I hate myself. I said, well, son, I can understand this, but I said, there's something you got to know about God. I said, I've learned that need does not move the hand of the master. I said, he'll let you lay right there with them warts and die with them. You'll go to your grave with them and he won't touch them. But I said, if you come to him in faith, I guarantee, once we repent of your sins and your mother's and dad's sins, I guarantee we come to him on behalf of his word in faith. I said, I guarantee you, he'll take those warts and scars off of your body. So we spent 2 or 3 hours talking about the word, looking at the promises of God, looking at sin and everything, and everybody repented of sin. And then I took this wonderful promise, Matthew 18:19. And I remember that day in Matthew 18:19, I got down on the floor in that little living room of theirs with a little coffee table right there. And I said, would y'all get down on your knees with me before a holy God? And I'm going to take Matthew 18:19. I'm going to come to the throne of grace. I'm going to ask the master to take all the warts and scars off of your body, Philip, in the name of Jesus. I said, before I ask you that, before I pray that, I want to ask you this question. Do you believe the Jesus that I've been reading about today can do this for you? And little Philip said, after what I've heard you read out of that book, I believe Jesus can do anything. Now, is that the kind of faith I'm looking for?
Amen.
Is that the kind of faith Jesus is looking for? So I knelt there and prayed according to Matthew 18:19, Father, in Jesus' name, you said if two of us on earth agree about anything we ask you for, it shall be done by our Father which is in heaven. So I ask you, we've repented of all of our sins, and I thank you that you've redeemed him from the curse of the law. Now I thank you for removing all of the warts and scars off of Philip Anthony Wren's body in the name of Jesus. It's done. Thank you, Lord. Amen. His mother stood up with me and said, when are they going to come off? I said, that's the only thing God don't tell me. It's when. I said, but woman, I guarantee you, on the word of the living God, if you will stay in faith with me, with no doubt in your heart, in a few days, maybe even a few weeks, but I guarantee Philip will not have a wart or a scar left on his body. Now, do you hear any faith in that, Gracie? Maybe just a little bit somewhere? Now, if God says I have to believe with no doubt in my heart, what am I going to say? Well, I'm not sure what he'll do. Maybe if it's will. What did he tell me? If two of us on earth agreed, what could we ask for? So what am I going to do? I'm going to believe. That's right. Well, of course, the next morning, I told her something else, too. I told her, I said, you know, I'll guarantee you something else. I said, when I walk out of here today, there's going to be a little critter. He's going to walk in here. And he's going to set up on your shoulder. He's going to say, now you don't really believe. Just because that old gray-headed man came over here and knelt on the floor right there and spoke a few words into the atmosphere, that those warts and scars that Philip's had for 8 years is really going to come off. You really believe? Remember, the doctors burned them off, and they didn't even stay off. They came back into scars. So you don't really believe just because he prayed. That's going to happen. I said, when that happens, I said, you get the book out and you open it up and lay it right there and say, Mr. Devil, I want you to see what Jesus said. I want you to read him the word. I left that afternoon. The next morning, about 7 o'clock, Mama gets up and goes in and checks little Philip. And his hands, where all the warts had been under his fingernails and all over his hands were clear of warts overnight. Now then, when a Baptist mother, when a Baptist mother, which is non-charismatic, comes back to church next Sunday, and when you see her leading her son, this tall, lanky woman is saying, Thurman, praise God, looky here, look what Jesus has done for my son. Whoa, look at this. I thought, man, I ain't never seen a Baptist woman like that in church in my life. You know, even a Baptist can get excited when Jesus shows up. Now you can begin to understand why some of us get excited, right? Because Jesus has showed up and done wonderful things for us. That woman was dancing, praising God. And the third week, when she said, look, Thurman, there's not a wart left on Philip's body. Every one of them, only those scars. I said, Mama, don't stop believing now. And next Sunday, Philip won't have no scars. And next Sunday when she brought Philip in, Philip didn't have a wart or a scar on his body. The master had took them all off. In fact, a few years after that, Philip was 11 at that time. After seeing that awesome miracle, within just a few years, his mother and dad couldn't make it together and they got a divorce. Are we stupid? Oh, if they'd ever seen a miracle of God, they would have not done that. How much bigger of a miracle do you need? Would you say they got to see a miracle of God? Yeah, they were there when it all happened. But they still went their own way and got a divorce. And of course, Philip forgot. By the time he's 16, 17, now then he's running around. His mother and dad's gone. They're divorced. He has no directions. He's going the wrong way. He's met a girl. He moved in with her. He's on drugs. Had a car wreck. He'd done everything wrong. Everything wrong. I didn't know none of this. You know, I hadn't seen him 4 or 5 years. I was walking down the minister center hallway one day and the Lord said, son, I want you to call Philip Anthony Wren. I said, Lord, I don't know where Philip Wren's at. I hadn't seen him in years. So I walked into the office and told the girls, I said, look up Philip Anthony Wren for me and see if you can find a phone number. I don't know where he's at. We found three Philip Anthony Wrens, but there wasn't none of them around here close. They were all somewhere else, another state or whatever. I called all of them. I said, are you Philip Anthony Wren? Yes, I am. I said, I'm Pastor Thurman Scrivener. Do you know me? Who? Thurman Scrivener. No, never heard of you. I said, well, then you're the wrong Philip Anthony Wren. So I called all three of them. None of them knew me. I said, okay. So now then, I go to the Lord and I said, Lord, I did everything I know to do. I can't find Philip. I said, Lord, I want you to have Philip call me. You know where he's at. What did God say we could ask for? We live so far beneath what is rightfully ours. So a couple of days later, one of the girls, I walked by and they said, oh, Pastor, Philip Wren's on the phone for you. I walked in and said, hi, Philip, how are you doing? He said, well, I'm doing good. He said, I was just led to call you. What do you need? I said, can you come see me? He said, sure. I said, come out, Philip. I want to talk to you. So he came out. That's when I found out he was on drugs. That's when I found out he had a wreck. That's when I found out he was fixing to go to jail. I found out all kinds of things was bad that was happening in his life. I found out he was living with a girl he wasn't married to, and she had had a bad pap smear, you know, and she's going to have cancer and all kinds of things. And so I was able to show them all what they were doing was wrong, get them to repent of their sins, pray for them. She got healed. Now they got four beautiful kids after they got married. And Philip got completely set free and delivered, and then he came to work for us. Both of them did. In fact, both of them worked for us for, what, 5 years? Something like that, about 5 years. Philip wanted to get into computers, so I sent him to computer school. I even paid his way to computer school because I loved the boy. He's like a son to me. He goes to school and becomes a computer specialist, and then, of course, he works with Dave, and Dave teaches him some things. Dave's a computer science engineer. Oh, you know, he's really sharp on computers, so he helped Philip as well as the schools, and now Philip's running some bank in Oklahoma, you know, all their computers and stuff all over. He's doing all their computer stuff. So he's been very successful. Now, God had a plan for Philip. If God hadn't spoke to me that day and told me to call Philip, guess where Philip would probably be today? He'd be in dead. More than likely, he'd be dead by now. You know, because where him and his girlfriend were headed was taking them both into the pit of hell. They cannot go to the kingdom of God. Is God a merciful God? Yes. Isn't it wonderful to know the Master? I love knowing the Master. I love seeing him do the wonderful things that he does. But this stuff, when he said he'd give me the kingdom and all things were mine, I believed him. Verse 9 and 10. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. 11 and 12. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. 13 and 14. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15 and 16. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, wait a minute. Do you see anything in here? This struck a note with me. God's promises are conditional. Do you see that? You have to do something. You know, so what if you got a grudge against somebody? What if you're not getting along with your mate? What if you've had a knockdown dragout with one of your children and you've never reconciled and you come to God and ask him for something and he don't hear you? You see what I mean? There's always a reason when God does not answer our prayer. Always. Something we done wrong. How easy is it to do something wrong? Very, very easy. Then he says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward. When you fast, you know, when I was going to the Baptist church, when I first learned about fasting, I thought they misspelled the word. Because in the Baptist church, we feast a lot. We add an E to that word. We don't fast very well. Do you know that I remember when I first got a hold of fasting, that my first fast was 3 days. And of course, I was very fortunate. I had read a book about fasting. And it says, whatever you do, ask God to take away your hunger pains before you fast. I did that. And I went 3 days without any problem. And then later I'd done a 5 day, 7 day, 9 day, 14 day. And then one day after Cheryl and I got married, we was up north and we prayed for a young boy that had MD, yeah, and he did not get healed. And she asked me the question on the way home. She says, why did that boy not get healed? I said, because I didn't have enough faith. I said, the boy wanted to be healed. He had repented. We broke the curse, but I didn't have enough faith. She said, what do you have to do to have that kind of faith? I said, to fast and pray. She said, how long? I said, well, if you want to be like the master, when he first went into the wilderness, how many days did he fast? Wow, everybody knows that, 40 days. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever fasted 40 days? Okay, very few, very few. Yeah, it's hard. It's not this hard. It's more than hard. So Cheryl said, we need to fast. I said, yes, that's what we need to do. She said, okay, how long? I said, well, 40 days, we'll be able to be just like the master. She said, okay, we're going to fast 40 days. I said, you ever fasted before? She says, no. I said, so you're going to start out with a 40-day fast. She said, whatever it takes to get that boy healed, I'm willing to pay the price. Now, you know, that's a unique woman right there. Yeah, she's not normal. Praise God. So anyway, we started. We asked the Lord to help us, and we got 18 and a half days into that fast. And on the way out here that morning, I had got up that morning, come out here to do some business, and when I stepped out of the car and stood up, the whole world disappeared. I was standing there beside the car. Can't see. I can hear, but I can't see nothing. I said, whoa. And so I said, Lord, what's going on? So I stood there for a minute, and all of a sudden, everything come back into focus. And I said, whoo. I said, I'm glad that didn't happen driving down the road at 60 miles an hour. You know, and you know, you realize how far you can go in 30 seconds?
Oh, yeah.
At 60 miles an hour, you can run over somebody or get killed, right? And so I said, wow, thank you, God. So anyway, after the business was over, I went back home. And on the way home, I said, Lord, Cheryl and I is fasting for 40 days. He said, I know what you're doing, but he said, I want you to stop the fast today. I said, stop the fast today? He said, yes. I said, but Lord, he said, no, son, I want you to stop your fast today. Now, if God tells you to stop your fast, what should you do?
Stop it.
Yeah. So I get home and I walk in and Cheryl, she's trying to wash some clothes. You know, she walks over like this and she grabs one something. And she takes it over here and puts it in the washing machine. And then she comes back over and gets one more. And oh, then she'd lay down a minute and then she'd put it in there. And I said, honey, we need to stop the fast. No, 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 we're not stopping. We ain't stopping. She said, we're going to go 40 days. I said, but honey, the Lord spoke to me. She said, I don't care. We ain't stopping. Okay. So anyway, you know, you can't deal with a woman like that. You know, you can't deal with her. You know, she's got a goal and she's going to go because he's got an agenda. She wants to learn how to do this fast for 40 days so she can see these people healed. And so we went to bed that night and I lay in there. We usually don't go to bed till 12 or something like that anyway. So, but we finally went to bed and I'm laying there and I don't hear nothing. She's totally quiet. And all of a sudden I think, Lord, I can't sleep. So I'm just going to get up and go make myself a cup of hot tea. And so I got up and I said, I'm going. She said, where are you going? I didn't know you were awake. I said, well, yeah, I couldn't sleep. So I said, I'm going to go make myself a cup of hot tea and I'm going to put honey in it. She said, but that'll break the fast. I said, well, honey, the Lord told me today to stop the fast. I don't know why, but I have got to obey the master instead of you. I've got to obey God. So she said, well, okay. If he said to do it, then I'll get up and make us a bowl of tomato soup, and then we'll just have a bowl of soup. I said, okay. So we got up, she fixed us some soup, we had a bowl of soup, then we prayed and went back to bed. The next day, I got up and had breakfast, normal. And 3 days later, we had to go up north, and by that time, I'm full bore. I'm going good, but she can't even pull a rolling suitcase. Now, I'm telling you, if God hadn't told me to stop that fast when it did, if we'd have went one or two more days, I might not have her today. You know, she might have died. You know, so you don't never know, do you? But when the king tells you to do something, what's the best thing to do? You do it. You do exactly what he said, yeah. When you fast. If you've never fasted, it would be a good idea for you to learn how to do that. Okay, verily I say to you, they have their reward. Okay, let's go to verse 17 and 18. But thou, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you may appear unto men, not a past, but unto your Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. So, verse 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moths and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Boy, have I messed that one up. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. How many of y'all are like me? You got a lot of toys on earth. Have you got a lot of toys on earth? Yeah, I do. I got lots of toys. If y'all know what I mean by toys, you know, I've learned a long time ago the only difference between a man and a boy is the price of his toys. Is that right? Little boys, and I think about just like this Christmas, little John wanted a little electric motorbike. You know, well, Grandma bought him one. And he knew exactly what he was going to get, but you know, he had to wait till Christmas Eve to open it, but he knew what was in that box. He knew it. But boy, when he got that toy, man, did he ride that toy. Y'all know where I'm coming from? I mean, he had his helmet on, he had his gloves on, he looked like a Martian. I mean, he didn't look like a boy. You know, he had a coat on to protect him, he had knee pads, I mean, everything. You ought to have seen this kid with his helmet and his glasses and everything, but that little tiny, silent, little bitty motorcycle, which runs about 14 miles an hour, man, he has run that thing like a rabbit around this place. He has just had a ball with that little toy. Now then, in 2 or 3 years, guess what? He gonna want a bigger one. Y'all, you know that. Oh, a faster one. Oh, Mama, Grandma C, this is not fast enough. I need a bigger one for Christmas this year. You know what I mean, don't you, Ben? And then first thing I know, he'll want one that's got 150 horses under the hood, right? Is that the way we are? Sure, that's the way we are. My daughter and my son was the same way. They wanted a little toy like that. And as they got older, my daughter wanted a horse, and I bought her a horse. And then she wanted a faster horse. Well, I bought her a Playday horse, and she was happy to do that too. She got 16, and then she wanted a Beretta. A Beretta, you know, it's got 150 horse or 180 horse or something like that, whatever it is. She wanted one of them things that had lots of horses under the hood where she could grab it and go. That's what she wanted. And so prices are toys, you know, but we really do lay up for ourselves treasures on earth. And these treasures all go away, don't they? They wear out, they break down, or somebody breaks in and steals something. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Let's go to the next verse, 22. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Lord, forgive me. I have to repent. Forgive me for having so many toys. I stand in awe. When I used to have a little shop, I worked on a few cars. My little shop was 24 by 32. And I knew where every tool I had was. I knew where every meter was. I knew where everything was in that little shop. Today, I've got so many toys and so many tools and so many people to help me use those tools. I don't even know where nothing's at hardly no more. I can't keep up with it. You know, like one of my sons, You know, of course, Dave is my spiritual son. Here a while back, he had come up with a toy. When they was up in Canada, the grandparents up there gave them a travel trailer, and they brought it home, and when they got home with it, they found out part of the metal was coming off of it and everything, so he needed to fix that. So he wanted to know if he could clean out one of my shops and back it in there where he'd be working inside. I told him yes. I knew when he put it in there, it was going to be in there for 6 months to a year. I knew it wasn't going to be an overnight repair. So I knew my shop, I had to let my son, but he moved everything, cleaned his shop out and moved this thing in there. And he's been, the further he went in that thing, the more he found wrong with it. So the more he, when he gets through it, it'll be like a brand new one. It'll really be like a brand new one. But see, he has used a lot of the shop and the tools and stuff that was in there. Now he tried to put everything somewhere where he knows where it's at, but I don't know where it's at. So trying to find stuff, isn't that something when you got all these sons to help you? You know, and just like the other day, we were over working on Mike's shop over there, and when Ben and Eric moved all the tools from over there, they moved them over here. Now they know where everything's at. I don't know where nothing's at. I couldn't find it. I went in there the other day to get a drill to do something, and I couldn't find it. I thought, well, let me just find one of these boys and have them do it for me, because I don't know where nothing's at.
Maybe God's telling you to quit working.
Is that, maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe he's telling, it's my time. My time. Delegate it to these boys and let them fix it, right? I'm trying to learn to make sure my treasures are in heaven and not on this earth, because I know that everything I build on this earth is going to fall apart, everything. I saw that with my dad. I helped my dad build granaries and barns and everything. And then he went home to be with the Lord. And 5 years later, I was down there and virtually everything had been blown away or tore up or rotted or something. Nothing. It all goes away. Isn't that terrible? Everything we build on this earth, all the time and everything we put into it and we fight over it. Then he says the light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. It makes a big difference what you look at. And so, next verse. But if your eye it be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. One of the things I've learned there about the eye, if a man looks at the wrong things in his life, especially if he looks at women in the wrong places, it will bring all kinds of sickness and disease upon that man. Wow. How great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Isn't that sad? So many people on this earth, they think if they just had another dollar or another $1,000, they would have everything they need. And when you get that $1,000, then you find out you need $10,000. And then when you get to $10,000, you find out you need $100,000. You know what? I learned this in my own life. When I built that house over there across from here, that two-story house, I wanted to build a nice house for my wife and my children to live in. I got it built and we lived in it for 10 years. The house is big, two stories. It's got all the room in the world. I thought it was such a blessing. I built it debt-free. You know, I built it myself. It took me 5, 6, 7 years to build it. And then one day I wake up and there ain't nobody left but me. My wife and my daughter are dead, killed in a car wreck. Now then, this house I spent all these hours building and all this money I had invested, ain't nobody there but me. Isn't that something? You know, so I thought, what a fool. I could have spent more time with my family instead of spending all the time building this so they could have enjoyed it. But I didn't. So I made lots of mistakes in life. You show me somebody hadn't made a few mistakes in life, huh? If you're living, you've made some mistakes. Wow. Nobody can serve God and money. Next two verses. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat? I want you girls to think about what he said about what, don't think about what you're going to put on. I know that you girls are girls, and I guess there's no way to change this, but I've never seen a woman. There may be one out there, but I don't know. But every time she goes to get dressed, she gets... My daughter, Amanda, was the worst one I ever saw. I could go into her bedroom, and her closet would be everything hung up and everything in beautiful order. And when she got ready to go to school, but when she left, I could go back in there, and I think everything in her closet, she had tried everything and laid it all back on the bed. Her room would be a disaster. She was very concerned about what she was going to wear. You know, when he says, take no thought for what you're going to wear. You know, so one day I told her, I said, honey, I want you to take something out of the closet, and if you put it on and you don't like it, I want you to hang it back up before you take another one out. Okay, Daddy, okay, I'll do that. So a few weeks later, I went up there and everything was destroyed. I thought she didn't hear me. She didn't believe me. So I picked up everything she had and put it in trash bags, took it downstairs and put it in a trash can. When she came in the afternoon, she said, Daddy, what happened to my clothes? I said, they were scattered all over the place. It looked like a disaster, so I threw them all away. Oh, my goodness gracious. She said, I can't believe you did this. I said, well, the trash hadn't come yet. They're still down there. So I said, I guess you go down there and get them out and hang them up. Do you know what? After that, guess what?
Didn't happen anymore.
That's right. She heard me that time. You know, we don't hear God's word. In fact, I'm going to tell y'all something on one of the young ladies that works with us this week, or last week, I guess it was. She's living in one of our travel trailers because she didn't have any place to stay at the present time. So she was running her dryer from the bathroom in there, and she touched a little button, and that little button is called a test button. And it's on a little thing called a GFI, a ground fault interrupter. She had no idea what it was. The dryer wouldn't work no more, and so she had no idea what happened. So when she told me, I told her, I said, did you hit the test button? No, I did not. I said, do you know the test button? She said, no, there's no test button on it. I said, oh yeah, there's a test button and a reset button. No, there's not one there. I didn't see it. So I went over there with her, and I said, see that? There's a test button, there's a reset button. Hit the reset button, and guess what? The power come back on. Holy cow. Okay, now, the next couple of days, as we talked about this, we made a joke out of it. Next day she came in, she said, GFI, ground fault interrupter. She said, I never saw one of them in my life, but she said, I'm telling you, everywhere I go now, I look at those wall and said, them things is everywhere. I told her, I said, that's the way the Word of God is. I said, the Word of God is everywhere. Is that right, Mary? Well, you open it and look at it, and all these things that God has for us is in there, right? And we don't see them, do we? We just miss them. Do y'all know where I'm coming from?
Yep.
You look right at it, just like she looked at that GFI, but her eyes were not trained. She had no idea what a test button and a reset button was for. So she didn't see it. Although her eyes saw it, it didn't register in her brain. It didn't register. She didn't know what a GFI was. And some of you girls probably, if I were to really pin y'all down, some of you men too, may not know what a GFI is, what its purpose was. She had no idea. I'd explain in detail to her why they came into existence, to keep people from getting killed. So I said, you know, nobody would ever have enough sense to plug a radio in and set it on the side of a tub that's full of water and get in it to take a bath. I said, nobody with a right mind would do that. But they do it all the time. And then one day, one of the kids comes in and hits the radio and knocks it off in the tub with you without a GFI, you're a dead person. It kills you. Maybe the kid too. But people didn't. Now with a GFI, as soon as it falls in there, everything turns off instantly. So nobody gets hurt. So I said, you know, it's amazing. I told her, I said, the Word of God makes us all these statements what we're supposed to do. We read them, but we don't yield to them. It's not something that's been brought to our attention, so we just read over it and don't do what it says. You know, I've had people like myself, I say, you know, that's not in the Bible. I know that's not in my Bible. And I go over and open my Bible to that chapter and book, and there it is underlined, it's highlighted, it's starred, everything, but yet today I don't remember it being in there. Have you ever done that? So you see, behold, the fowls of the air, for they neither do, they reap or they gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father, he feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Are we glad God is very, very conscious of who we are? Because when we don't even know these things, don't know how to do these things or nothing else, God is there to teach us, to be merciful to us, to show us these things, and to get us through our life. The next couple of verses. Which of you, by taking any thought, can add one cubit to his life? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29 and 30. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these little flowers. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Are we children of little faith? Yes, we are. In fact, when the Lord says, he says, when I come again, will I find faith on the earth? I wonder sometimes how much faith I really have. Do I have faith? Well, I'm trying my best to have faith. When I see what God requires, I do my best to do it the way he says. And therefore, when you do it in true faith, he always shows up. Will he put you to the test? Boy, will he ever. He will put you to the test. Wow. Verse 31 and 32. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 33 and 34. But seek ye first. Now this is where we miss it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. How many people do you know, even church people, that seek ye first the kingdom of God? Not very many. Very few. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow it'll take thought for it, the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is evil. There is plenty of evil in the world, I will have to say. Take no thought for what you're going to eat or drink. Don't worry about nothing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things that your heart desires will be added unto you. So if you need something, if you want something, God's going to take care of you. If you do things his way, he'll make sure you have enough money to get by in life. Does that mean you're going to have times that there'll be no testing? There may be some times of no testing. I was just thinking this morning, as I thought about myself, when I got laid off when I was flying as an airline pilot, DC-8s, when I came back from Vietnam on a trip, I got laid off. And here I had a fantastic job. I was making more money than I'd ever made in my life. I mean, I had all the money anybody should ever have needed. And guess how much money I had in the bank? None. What's wrong with me? Well, I'm just like, I'll start to say like you, I hope not. I spent it faster than I made it. Now, I know none of y'all do that, do you? But I did. But when I got laid off, here I had the best job in the world. I'm flying a DC-8 airplane all over the world, and I got big bucks coming in, and I can spend it quicker than I can put it in the bank. I have no money. So when I get laid off, when I come home, I ain't even got a nest egg. I come home, I still got car payments to make. I still got house payments to make. I still got groceries to buy. I got insurance to pay, and I don't have no money. My wife was in tears. She said, what are we going to do? I said, honey, if God will just let me stay healthy, I will make us a living out of the shop. I was a mechanic, also had been a mechanic, and I knew how to work on cars. So I said, I can make us a living. But I said, this is going to teach me a lesson. I said, from this day forth, I'm never going to live payday to payday again. Never. I'm going to save my money. I'm going to get everything paid off. I'm going to get the car paid off. I'm going to get the house paid off. I'm going to get things paid off. And I'm not going to buy anything I don't have to have. And I'm going to keep money in the bank. So if I ever run into a situation like this again, I got something to fall back on. And it taught me a lesson. I have never lived from payday to payday again in my whole life. Never. You know how easy it is to live payday to payday? I'm going to tell you how easy it is to live beyond your payday. You know, you start buying things you don't need. Bigger and fancier things. When you could have bought, if you had the money to buy you a new car, you could have bought a little Chevrolet for $20,000. But no, you needed a Lexus that cost $80,000 or $100,000. Yeah, you had a good job. What you paid down, almost the taxes you paid for that Lexus, you could have bought that Chevrolet. But you never think about it like that. People, we as people build our treasures on earth. We really do. Well, I think we ought to listen to God's word and not live beyond our means. Do you think that'd be good advice? Every one of us. Wow. Father, I praise you and thank you for this chapter 6 of Matthew and the things you've got in it. And I just praise you and I worship you and thank you for being the mighty God. Give us all this information and show us how to live. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. Nice to see y'all. Again, I want to thank everybody that helped this Christmas, our 12th annual Christ Haven for Children Christmas benefit. We raised $70,444.31. Praise the Lord. We actually bought Christmas for more people than we did last year when we raised like 72,000, whatever it was. We bought Christmas for 3,840 children and elderly and 14 needy families. And I went to ride the horse this past week and stopped at the Valero, and there I had wanted to talk to the lady. She had a couple of these little scooters, push scooters, about giving me a deal on the scooters. And when I came in there, I started explaining to her about the Christmas benefit and that we were a ministry and we raised money to help people in the community closet over there, and Justin had no toys. And she said, well, I'll just give them to you. I said, oh, I can pay for them. She says, no, I'll just give them to you. So she gave me two scooters worth $43, and I threw them in the back of my car, and I was like, God, you're just so awesome. And he is. And so I did go on and I purchased the 60 Six Flags season passes that the Christ Haven had requested. I'm short $629, so if y'all don't pay it, I have to pay it, which is okay. I can do it. And then I believe, I want y'all to be in agreement with me, Sam's Club in Denton has always helped every year, and they haven't sent me anything yet. And sometimes I get things after Christmas. And so I filled out 21 Walmart and Sam grants, and I got 5 no's. I got 1 yes. The Walmart and Grapevine gave us $2,500. So I'm believing that the Sam's Club in Denton is going to give us $2,500 also, which will allow me to go get the clothes that they requested at the community closet. They need from infant to 5T toddler, and they need underwear for everybody from little to big, and they had no toys except for the 45, now 47 toys I took them. That's all the toys they had. They said all the toys they get are always broken. You know, they're no good. And they service 2,800 people a month from Justin, Keller, Roanoke, Denton, Fort Worth, and somewhere else. But anyway, I'm just saying there's a need in our community that's not being met also. So just be in agreement with me, everybody. Let's stand on Matthew 18:19, that Sam's Club in Denton and all the other Walmarts are going to send me some more money so that I can go ahead and take care of the community closet in Justin. That was started because the kids in Justin at the elementary school did not have any clothes. So in Jesus' name, we're all in agreement. Thank you, Lord. Okay, we're going to dismiss, and I'll be up here to pray. I know that Dave and Jeff will also be here to pray. Gracie and Michael are here to pray. Rosemary, we have people here to pray. So just you're dismissed. Take whatever that you want to take. The CDs, DVDs are free. There's a box over there if you'd like to give anything to the ministry. If you give anything to the kids, mark for the children. And God bless you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And by the way, his birthday is tomorrow. Tomorrow is tomorrow the 30th. His birthday is tomorrow. He'll be 75. God bless y'all. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.